כבשר יתנו לכל השם אלוקינו מלאכים המוינני מלאכ למנחו ישראל כבובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובובוב Keser, 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 itnu lecha. Hashem Elokeinu, Malachim Hamoinei Malo. Imamcha Yisrael, Kevutei Emato. Keser itnu lecha, keser itnu lecha, Hashem Elokeinu, Malachim Hamoinei Malo, Imamcha Yisrael, Kevutei Emato. Keser itnu lecha, keser itnu lecha, Hashem Elokeinu. יחד כולם קדושו לכו ישרשו כאן עבר עמוד על יד ביחו כאן עבר עמוד על יד ביחו
Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. Each week I try to bring you music of interest. This week and the forthcoming week, I'm going to be commemorating the life of wonderful Shimon Kugel. It's hard to believe that the 23rd of January marks the fourth Yahrzeit. 4 years ago have gone by so quickly. He was such a wonderful person. And I've been wanting to do this, and I finally did the interview with the forthcoming interview with his son Shlomo, and I'm sure you're going to find it of great interest. In particular, there's an incident with Brian Epstein, manager of the Beatles, and Shimon, which is an incredible story, and you'll really understand how Shimon held to his principles and was so unique in this respect. He was a wonderful person. I always enjoyed seeing him, listening to his music, and I have decided to do this 1 hour special now, and in a few weeks I'll continue with his wonderful music. So let's get right to an interview that I did with his son Shlomo, and I'm sure you're going to find this of interest, and then we'll get to his music. I'm pleased to have with me on the phone Shlomo Kugel, son of the late Shimon Kugel, whose fourth Yahrzeit will be commemorated on the 23rd. Good evening.
Good evening to you, Charlie.
Okay. We were also shocked at the death of your dad, and I am pleased to honor his memory with this special of his songs. And I will have a second session on his more current releases. A lot of these releases will go back towards the beginning. So tell us about your dad. Where was he born?
My father was born in Cape Town, South Africa. He was living at the time with his parents. His father was a cantor, a chazan as well. In the Great Synagogue in Cape Town. I don't know, but I hear like a double sound.
There's no problem.
Okay. His father was a famous cantor and chazan in Cape Town. His father actually went to Italy to study opera, voice and opera, and he was actually the first opera singer in Palestine at the time. And so after living in Israel for a couple of years, they moved to South Africa, and he was the chief cantor there at the Great Synagogue in Cape Town. And he grew up there for a couple of years until his father passed away, unfortunately, due to unfortunate circumstances. When he was only 3 years old, he was left without a father. He was an orphan. But he was brought up by his mother, who was a very loving mother, and she was an amazing pianist, very musical, very talented, and she instilled in her her children. She had two children, my father and his sister. He told them the love for music and the hope that they will grow up to continue the family tradition of either cantorial or music. And surely enough, later on, when my father was around 18, he was living in Israel at the time. He joined the Israeli army and was the chief cantor of the Israeli Air Force. And they flew him from one base to the next to perform before the soldiers, Israeli soldiers, as well as cantorial for the holidays. And later on, he seeked his fortune going back to the same place where he grew up in South Africa, and was able to obtain a position as a cantor, I believe, in the same synagogue that his father was a cantor.
Wow.
And that's when he was introduced also to music, where he was flying back and forth to Israel, South Africa, England. He was performing all over the world, South America. he was introduced to Shlomo Kalibach at the time, who was a singing rabbi. And he really liked what he saw. He just liked the whole concept, the whole idea of a singing rabbi with a guitar, with melodies. And next thing he knew, he purchased his first guitar and taught himself how to play guitar on his own. And he started singing and composing songs. And that's when he met, I believe, Alan Yakko, who was the producer of some of the
Greater Recording.
Greater Recording company that produced a lot of Jewish music at the time. I think it was the only company that produced Jewish music at the time, introduced to quite a few of the singers and music that we all know today. And they recorded five albums with my father, Simon Kalu, which were greatly received, and there was a great amount of enthusiasm for my father's music and his beautiful voice. And he was performing all over.
Uh-huh.
He was traveling a lot. And then he met my mother in England. They were dating in England, and he was performing at the time all over. And at one of the Jewish clubs, he was approached by a gentleman named Epstein. He happened to be the father of Brian Epstein, the manager of the Beatles. And he fell in love with my father's voice and his character and personality, and he wanted him to meet his son, Brian Epstein, the manager of the Beatles, and arrange for a meeting. And there he met Brian Epstein, the famous Brian Epstein, who everybody knows. At the time, he was a very well known person. Talk to them, I'm sure. If you Google it, you'll see everything about him.
Uh-huh.
He liked my father a lot and decided to sign a 5-year contract with him.
Really?
And he told him, "You're going to be the next big thing after the Beatles." And they signed a contract with Decca Records at the time, something similar to like Sony today, one of the biggest record companies. And they had someone by the name of Paul Anka, which everybody in the Goyish world know as one of the biggest composers of the biggest hits on the radio. And Paul Anka composed two songs for Simon Kogel. They called him at the time Simon Kogel.
Uh-huh.
So it should appeal to the wild world. And they started playing it on the radio, and it was a big breakthrough for my father's career, and he was going to become very famous and very rich from this whole production. And surely enough, Brian Epstein was able to pull some strings and get my father to represent England in a very popular music contest, which is very well known around the world, especially in Europe, called the Eurovision. Here in America, they don't really have anything to do with the Eurovision because it's for European countries. But every European country sends their best song to represent the country, and the best song that wins the contest becomes an instant success, instant fame, and riches, and whoever it is, a singer or whoever it is, it's obvious that they become a very big superstars and very famous all over. I'd have over a billion people watching it when it takes place, and it's placed till today. It takes place in Europe, and it happens to be that last year Israel won the contest. So next year, the Eurovision is going to be in Tel Aviv.
Oh.
But just to give you a little bit of a background on what the Eurovision is, it's a huge music contest, and my father, Allah Shalom, Shimon Kogel, was going to be singing one of the songs that Paul Anka composed for him. And as he was getting ready for the big contest, the big event, he realized that the main rehearsal is going to be taking place on Shabbat, on Shabbos.
Oh, no.
And unfortunately, for his career, he didn't think twice. He went over to Brian Epstein and told him, listen, I can't do this. I'm not going to desecrate the Shabbos. And Brian says, listen, I'm not telling you what to do, but this is your opportunity of a lifetime. And if you're able to do it, then, you know, you'll be rich, you'll be famous, and you'll be able to contribute to all the synagogues, and, you know, you'll be a rich man, so you'll be able to give to charity. But my father, nevertheless, gave it up. And that was a turning point in his life where he decided to devote his music and dedicate his life to only Jewish music.
That's an incredible story. Wow.
Well, the story doesn't end there. It actually gets better, where that song instead was sung by another gentleman by the name of Jack Jones, and that song actually won the contest. That song won the Eurovision. That was a really interesting story, because my father only several years ago told me the story, just by the way, like, you know, just, you know, think something that happened by the way in his, you know, in his career. And I was like, but taken aback, I was like shocked that this is such an inspiring story. This is such an amazing story. Like, you should really get the word out. You should really tell it to others, to inspire others. And he didn't think much of it. So it was really incredible to see that he really didn't think much of it. And it wasn't even a given to even think of, you know, giving up his, you know, giving up all that he did for a little bit of fame or money, because his tradition and his religion were more important than, you know, all these materialistic things. He was a very spiritual, very committed Jew. And that's when he only started singing only Jewish music, and he started producing other albums. And he continued playing and singing all over the world, and he was at the peak of his career when he decided later on to move to the United States with his family.
Uh-huh.
It was difficult to leave his family every time for long periods of time.
You were born in England?
I was born in South Africa.
South Africa, uh-huh.
Yeah, my father later on in life, he moved to Israel. And then he moved back again to South Africa the second time. And then after we moved from South Africa, we moved to England. We lived there for a couple of years. And he davened in a city called Leeds. He was actually 1 year in Manchester and then 4 years in Leeds. And when I was 8 years old, we moved to Israel, when we lived in Jerusalem. I'm the oldest of four siblings, and that's where he decided to bring us up. So we started going to school. It was harder for him to travel, so he decided to stay put in Israel. And we lived in Israel for a good 8 years. And while that was going on, he still traveled the world and, you know, performed and inspired people. And he had a beautiful, soothing, pleasant voice. And he was very well trained. He was also a super talented chazan, cantor. And I remember him getting a call one day from a conservative shul who offered him a position. It wasn't even conservative. They considered conservadox, like a mix of conservative and orthodox. Uh-huh. The mechitza wasn't so high, and they had a hidden mic behind the podium.
Hidden mic, oh yeah, yeah.
And I remember at the time, as a kid, I remember the conversation on the phone. He was negotiating, and he was trying to see if there's anything that could be done about it. And they said, no, this is the way this synagogue is. You know, maybe later on, if you join, they'll become a little more right-wing, and, they'll make a higher mechitza, you know, separation between men and women, because, as an Orthodox Jew, we have we have a separation between men and women. He really felt strong about it. So he was offered, I believe, at the time, going back like 35 years ago, he was offered $150,000 to fly in once a month, Shabbos Mevorachim, to daven there, to pray in that synagogue. And that was an astronomical amount of money at the time. And I remember it was very tempting, but I remember him hanging up the phone and telling my mother afterwards, I will not sell my soul for money. And that was my father. He was a person with strong principles, and he was not tempted to do something that was against his beliefs, and which was very unusual, because I know of some Chazanim, unfortunately, that succumbed to some of these temptations, and going out of town, nobody would really know, and they can make a ton of money. This is what they make for. This is what they do for a living. So, maybe they'll find a hetzer, they'll find some kind of halachic way to get around it. So there was no going around about it with my father. So I really respected him for that, and that kind of instilled a lot of our who we are in our family, and proud of who our father was. Growing up, he was a very talented person. And a very good father and a very dedicated family man as well. And remember the good times sitting around the Shabbos table, harmonizing on singing Zemiras with our family around the Shabbos table, and people passing by. We could see people passing by downstairs and listening and stopping in the street and just listening to the beautiful harmonies from our home, particularly in Shabbos when we have guests that came by. And it was really some sight, and it was beautiful melodies to listen to. And growing up, I actually sang with my father at some of his concerts, and I even recorded a few songs along with my father on some of his LPs and CDs, whatever, his tapes. So I was very much involved in seeing my father's career evolve. And as I grew up, I turned to the marketing and advertising world, and I tried to help him promote himself when he did have a new album or a new CD. And we created an ad campaign for him, and we designed his CD covers, and I was very much involved with helping him succeed. And people till today come by and tell me how beautiful his voice was and how beautiful of a person he was. It wasn't just his voice, but it was also his personality. He was a very charismatic person, and very beloved person, and a very classy person. It's hard to find people like that today, where you just talk to him, you just look at him, you can see the person is not just another, something about him.
Well, he was honored by Sinai, and in the program it said
Sinai Academy.
A unique man of integrity, and that certainly was right on the target. He was a man of great integrity, and I always loved to be with your dad. He always had a smile. He always seemed up, and I enjoyed his singing. It was a sweet voice, and he had, I always talk about soul music. I think that he exemplified true soul music from the neshama.
Yes, it's true. A lot of people used to come and tell me or tell him how much his performance had moved them. Or I remember even the story of somebody coming to him after a concert and told him, Shimon, I want you to know, I used to be observant, but I'm currently not observant. But after listening to your music, it moved me and it inspired me so much that tomorrow, first thing in the morning, I'm going to start putting on tefillin again.
I love it.
And these were just a few examples of what music and how powerful can music move and inspire people. And he was all about music. That's all he was, you know, his singing and melodies and spending so many hours, hundreds of hours in the studio. You know, he was a perfectionist, so he didn't settle for less than the best. And he would re-record and re-record and go over it. And at one point, he even started composing his own. He actually composed hundreds of songs, but and most of his LPs or records or CDs are his own music. Mm-hmm. Besides singing it, but he also later on started arranging his music and producing the actual instrumental that accompanied his songs. Gotcha. And he really enjoyed it, and that's what gave him life. He lived from music, and it took him to another dimension, another place. He loved it dearly, and he was a true artist and a true, I remember he was offered by one of the wedding orchestras. You know, they have a lot of orchestras out there today that perform at weddings.
Sure.
So he figured he'll maybe perform at some weddings. So he was offered a job by one of them. The better known orchestras out there, and they said, okay, here's a CD, go study it. And he looked at them and said, what do you mean? I have my own music. Why can't I sing my own music? You know, he was a very principled, where I'm not going to sing other people's music when I have my own music. Uh-huh. And he didn't want to give in. He felt that he had a lot to offer, and he doesn't have to sing other people's music in order to satisfy or to make a living. There's no reason why he can't sing his own beautiful music. And he had a lot of nice, beautiful songs. It wasn't, you know, he couldn't understand why. But, you know, he wasn't so much a businessman. He was more an artist. Uh-huh. So for him, you know, it was more of a principle. Like, you know, he was a man with strong principles. And just like he didn't sell his neshama for music, he wasn't going to sell himself to and supposedly sing somebody else's music when he can sing his own.
Right.
And that's the kind of person he wants.
Well, you certainly could. I'm sure we're so proud to have your dad, such a wonderful person, and I'm sure that it influenced the way you live your life. And personally, I was so saddened when I heard of his passing, and I'm pleased to memorialize him with this hour. And then in a few weeks, I'll be playing music that was more current. A lot of the songs at this hour are from the early days.
Sure, appreciate that.
Okay,
I'm sure your audience would appreciate it and enjoy it very much. And what's beautiful, even though he's not with us anymore, you know, when I get into the car, what's special is that I can still hear and sing, and I still have those memories that I could still, like, still accompany me when wherever I go, with either playing a CD or you know, listening to his albums. He's still here with us. Wow. Singing, and that's really special, because not everybody has that kind of gift and opportunity to still have memories of their beloved ones, you know, as CDs or albums or music or recordings or videos.
Right.
There's so much that they have done over their life, so it's a very unique thing that we have, our family, you know, where we can still connect and still...
Yes.
See him, and you know, it's really something special.
Well, you are blessed, and he was special, and I look forward to sharing his music for my audience, and to be continued.
Great. Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity, and thank you so much for sharing his music. And Charlie, you are a true fan of cantorial music, I know that, and Jewish music, and it's really unique what you're doing, and we do appreciate what you do, you know, to contribute in your own way and put, you know, making sure that music isn't forgotten and people still can hear not just the latest of what's going on out there today, but also going back. And that's very interesting and very unique. And once again, I thank you, and we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your words. Thank you so much.
Continue the great work. Thank you, Sean.
Okay, so this was Shlomo, and I'm sure you found that interview so interesting as I did. I'm going to go back to the first album that I have of Shimon. This was a GRC, that's Greater Recording Company, that Shlomo mentioned, the Akau, in 1966. So the best that I could figure that Shimon was born in 1938. We're kindred spirits. I was born in 36, so he didn't seem that old, and I don't feel that old. Okay, we're going back to 1966. He was 28 years old, and the album, this was a platter. Cantor Shimon Kugel sings 12 new original concert hits. So that's the name of the album. This is the first selection on that album, Ki Lekach Tov. Okay, that was from the album Cantor Shimon Kugel Sings 12 New Original Concert Hits. Let's go to 1969, when he was 31 years old. This album, Shimon Kugel Sings Hasidic Hits, and the first selection will be Ritzei Asirosom.
Say, I see the song. They all London Ballet Lies She paid all the rocks I Corban Colil Veil
Altiroa, 31 years old, 1969. Next is Seem Shalom. Seem Shalom.
Seem, Seem Shalom. Toivo, Toivo. Ubrocho Toivo Toivo Ubrocho Chaim Chayn Vo Chesed Berachmim Oleinu Sim Shalom Toivo Vracha Chaim Chavein Vochesed Vrachamim Oleinu Rachamim v'chayim v'sholayim v'sholayim v'toiv yeye b'yevaynecho leborech esamcho yisrael v'chol eis o v'chol shuo v'shloim emo Samcho Yisroel Bechol Eis Uchol Shom Bishloem Echo
Okay, we're taking you chronologically through his development. It was starting in 1966, and now we're up to 1970 when he was 32 years old. Greater Recording came out with an album, Cantor, Shimon Kugel Sings Original Compositions. And here we will hear Oleinu. Original Compositions.
Hello. mondo che mi spechois o adomo
70 when he was 32 years old. Let's hear Shema Kolenu.
Hashem Melo Yukayenu Chos Rachaim Chos Rachaim V'Rachaim Chos V'Rachaim V'rachim, v'rachim, oleinu. V'kabel, b'rachamim. V'kabel, b'rachamim, u'v'rotzoin. Us to feel always anew. Now, al tashlichenu, al tashlichenu b'lefonecho. Al ti kavachem yemenu. Maleta sheli cheyenu, al tashli cheyenu leyevayz zikenu. Maleta sheli cheyenu, maleta sheli cheyenu
GRC, that's the Greater Recording Company, in 1971 at the age of 33. And the album is just Shimon Kugel Sings. And let's hear Shema Yisrael from that album.
Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hu Elokeinu, Hu Avinu, Hu Elokeinu. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hu Elokeinu, Hu Avinu, Hu Malkeinu, Hu Moshiyeinu.
Towards the end of this program, we'll now hear HaMechadesh B'Tuvo.
هم خدش به توای به خالیای تا همی مفهی برشی هم خدش به توای به خالیای تا همی مفهی برشی آریم گدالی کی لایلام از دای کامول آسای آریم گدالی کامول آسای آریم گدالیم که لیای لام خزای آی خداش الفیای تایی الفیای تایی ونیسک خولانو مهرا لیای را مهرا لیای را به نیست که خلانو مهرا لیای را مهرا لیای را آی خدا شلطیان الفیان تاییم و نیسک خلانو مهرا
Okay, these were sort of introductory. We'll play during the next program, Someday, Somehow, and Little Bird, and others of wonderful selections that were composed by the late Shimon Kugel. And I hope that you found this of interest. If you have any comments or requests about this, you know how to reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com, cbjmusic@aol.com. Also, I remind you that I send out a monthly cantorial calendar, and if you wish to receive it, it's very simple. Just email me. You're on the computer right now. Just go cbjmusic@aol.com. In the subject line, just put calendar, and you'll receive this monthly font of information about what's going on in the world of Chazonus, not just here in the United States, but in Israel and the various countries throughout the world. I do have listeners in South Africa and in Australia and throughout Europe and Canada. And if you have any events that are Chazonus, just send it to me and I'll include it in the calendar. In any event, one other thing, don't forget to tell your friends about the program. Remember, word of mouth is one of the best forms of advertising. It doesn't cost anything. Oh, well. Yeah, share this joy with others. Why not? That's what I try to do. So thanks for joining with me, and shalom.